pay to go faster.
That's one of the mantras of the successful. Now, if you don't have any money, you can always pay with your time. And maybe when you don't have time, but you've got money, well, you can pay with money. So both approaches could work in your favor and take you exactly where you want to be as an entrepreneur. Do you want to know how? Listen to this great interview we've got coming up. Welcome to the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Case Lane, and this is your podcast if you are feeling that it's time to take control of your future and have the lifestyle you really want by starting your own business. In this extended episode interview, I'm having a conversation with Paul Tompkins, the CEO of Flippin' Experts, about his entrepreneurial journey. This is episode 109. Okay, today on the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast, so excited to have Paul Tompkins, the CEO of Flippin' Experts. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, Case, thank you so much for having me. I love the title, The Ready Entrepreneur. Like, it doesn't get better than that, but thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for the title. I know so many people are not ready,
but they
have entrepreneurial ideas in their heads. So hopefully for listeners, we're going to go on their entrepreneurial journey today. I'm excited to hear Paul's story, because what I always like to do is bring out the details for so many people who want to be entrepreneurs, who are thinking about it, have business ideas, but are not quite sure how it all works. But before we get into that, tell us where you are today so that we could build up to it. And tell us what a typical day is like as a glamorous entrepreneur.
Yeah, glamorous. Ooh, that's a good word. And I like what you said. I'm going to dig into the details, because so many people, they think it's this simple life. Yeah. I like the little things you see on like Facebook and Instagram. It's like, you know, you work in your normal day job, 8 to 5, you go home. And then a life of an entrepreneur, it's like 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. And it doesn't always have to be like that. There's phases in our life where it's busier than others, or we're starting a new company up. And we're kind of in that phase right now. We have three companies that are up and running that are just doing phenomenal. Even through COVID, even through the presidency and all the drama of riots and all that, we're thriving. Real estate is an amazing vehicle for us. And obviously right now, market's super hot, interest rates are low. But even in the tougher times, real estate's just been a solid foundation for us and our family and our company. Yeah. So right now, we own a company called Flippin' Experts. There's no G on it, so it's Flippin' Experts. Mm-hmm. And we flip houses. Crazy how that sounds, huh? Flippin' Experts flips houses. So that's what we do.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. We buy houses at a discounted rate.
Yeah.
We renovate them. We have multiple crews that work for us. We renovate the house and then we put it on the market and we sell it for market value. And we own a company that does that. We own another company that manages all of our rental properties.
Okay.
So we get to kind of cherry pick the fix and flips, right? We get to say, ooh, that one looks like a good one. I want to keep that one for a rental for the next 50 years. And create long-term wealth, right? Okay. Like that's my retirement.
Yeah.
Like Case, that's my retirement right now, right? So I'm like, okay, that house is a retirement. It's going to pay me for the rest of my life as long as I take care of it. And that's a company that I own. And then we also own a design and a staging company that designs houses and stages houses for other people, whether it's a homeowner, entrepreneurs. Okay. And then we just launched a company about 2 months ago. So actually we have four that does home renovations for other people. And that has just blown up, especially with COVID, right? Everybody was locked in.
Yeah.
And they're like, you need to fix this, honey. And you need to fix this, honey. And you need to. So now that everybody's allowed to move around a little bit and the inventory is so low in real estate right now, the lowest it's ever been.
Right.
Like everybody's doing their own renovation. So now that company's just exploded. So we're in a great place and I'm just excited about it.
That is so exciting. I wonder how many of those requests for renovations are for home offices.
Ooh, lots of them actually.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Everybody's shifting. Even like, we don't need these three bedrooms or that fourth bedroom.
Right,
and they're making beautiful offices. My wife's getting ready to design mine. Started. She designed it already. It gets installed next week. So I'm like, really, babe? We fell into that too.
But why not? Yeah.
And that's right.
You're at this time, 2020 is not everybody's favorite year, but for some people, certainly in a business, suddenly everybody's at home. So if you're in a business, like you say, people are suddenly looking around and saying, wait, we could fix some things here, things that they never had time to look at before. So how did you come into it? Were you somebody who was always interested in real estate and houses and construction? Were you that kid who wanted to help out and do that? No. What was the path then that you started on?
Case, I have a crazy story. So I started at a super young age. I had 8 kids in our family, so my mom and dad never had money. My dad was a pastor of a small little Baptist church. Mom stayed at home with 8 kids, so we had no money. So I learned very quickly, I think at around 13, that I needed to help the family. Like, I needed to get a job to help support my family. So it was out of desire. It was really cool. You know, it's cool to have a newspaper route or a painting fence or company. Or I mean, at 13, I started my own company. It was called Tompkins Helpers. And it went around in my neighborhood and I handed out little flyers and it was like, I'll mow your grass. I'll paint your fence in the winter time. I even had seasonal stuff. That's how smart I was at 13.
Now, like, did you just come up with it? Did somebody give you the idea? Or you just said, okay, I want to do something, so I'm going to do my own business. Okay.
It was me and my brother. Yeah. I kept seeing that look on my mom's face.
Yeah.
And she's a very happy woman. She doesn't carry emotion around a lot because there's 8 of us, right? She can't afford to do that. But I knew when it was pay bill time. And I just, out of necessity, I'm like, you know what? This sounds like fun too. So my very first company, it was Tompkins Helpers. It wasn't, don't tell anybody, don't tell the IRS. They didn't even know about it, but I was 13 and I painted fences. I did whatever I had to do. And when that first person gave me $80 to paint a fence, the light bulb went off. Wow. I was like, oh, and I did this in like a day and a half. I just made how much money? And the government's telling me I can't get a job till I'm 15 or 16. Cause I was trying to work at McDonald's and they're like, nope, 16 is the limit. So, I found a way around it. And I think entrepreneurs, that's what we do, right? Somebody tells us we can't do something or there's not a way to do this. What do we do? There's another way. There's another option. There's another avenue. So I learned at a very young age. And then as I grew up, I wanted to be a police officer. It was always in my heart to serve other people and help other people. And I didn't really do the research until like I was 18 and I went and applied and they're like, dude, you gotta be 21. What are you talking? You can't even buy ammo yet. And I'm like, for real?
So I didn't know that. Okay.
I was like, okay, I can't be a police officer until I'm 21. So I got 3 years. What am I going to do? And I've always had something in me about helping people. I don't care who it is, where it is, what level. And I was like, you know what? The military will accept me. So I joined the United States Marine Corps. I said, you know what? I'll go do that for 4 years and then I'll come back and I'll be a police officer. And that's what I did. So I served our country and I got to come back and I got to be a state trooper in the state of Florida. And I did that for a long time.
But during this time, were you ever, because you had all of your entrepreneurial work and that was there when you were younger, and then you sort of took on the traditional, so-called traditional path, we all call it now, to go for a career with a good job and all of that.
Yeah.
So where did that transition happen? Was it just that you, sort of the pressure around all of us to do what we're supposed to do? Was that what
what we're called to do, right? Well, for me, I knew I was supposed to be a police officer. I did. And that was my dream. And then about 6 years in, it started really hitting home. Like, now what am I going to do? Like, I mean, I was working in a bad part of town, but they gave me a fast car. They gave me a gun. They told me to go help people and go arrest bad people and put them in jail. Like, it was awesome. And like, I'm an adrenaline junkie. Like, I'm nonstop. My wife says all the time, she's like, you just don't turn it off. And I'm like, I can't, I'm so excited about what I'm doing. Like, I love it. And then about 6 years in of being a state trooper, I kind of sat back and I'm like, I'm making $36,600 a year. I'm not seeing my family because we had shift work, right? So 1 month we'd be on day shift. The next month you're on night shift. And the next month you're on midnight shift, 11 at night to six in the morning.
Okay.
So like every month my schedule was different. So my wife and my son, I'm missing football games. I'm missing time with my family. I can't go on vacation when I want. And I wasn't making any money. And I'm like, I love that I'm helping people, but I'm like, there's gotta be something in it for me, so to speak. And for my family. And
that's the call of all entrepreneurs, starting to feel that even though you've got, you know, everything sort of set up and you could stay that way for the rest of your life, you're the kind of person who's thinking there's more I could be doing. I could have more security, financial security, life security, and so on. And that's, I think for many entrepreneurs, that's always what's sort of boiling in our heads. Like, we have to do something else.
but we're caught in a trap. Right. We're caught in a, like for me, my trap was I had a secure job. I worked for the state. I had a retirement paid for by the state. If I lived that long. Right. I had multiple benefits. Like I had a take home car. They paid for the gas. There was just great health care. But that to me was a trap. It was like, okay, now I wouldn't say working for the man, but I'm working for somebody else and growing what they need.
Yes.
But it's not what helps me and my family. And it was actually a lot of risk. Like I was car chases, foot chases every single week. I mean, I was just in a really bad part of town. But so I finally, after 6 years, I'm like, I gotta shift something. I gotta do something. Something, you know, isn't working like it should. And being a state trooper 7 years in, I started getting the entrepreneurial itch came back,
yeah,
you know, and
okay.
I'm like, okay, something else is out there, something bigger. Like, I feel like I've done this, I've accomplished this. And I started going, okay, what can it be? Like, what's going to benefit my family and my generational family? Not just right now. What's my son, his sons, his daughters, like what's really going to change for us?
So you were thinking about that. Because a lot of people don't think about that. You know, they think more of the meat in the, even entrepreneurs, you know, sometimes just, they want to do something, want to have their own business. So where did that idea come for you? Is that something you had seen or either that you thought you wanted to just make sure you created, you know, a legacy in that sense? Was this something that you had seen other people do, or what was it that prompted you to think you wanted to make it bigger than just having your own business?
Well, I had a son, and for me, you know, he's always going to make his own way. I'm not one of those guys that if I had $10 million, I'm going to give him $1 million and say, here you go. But he's always going to work for it. And he's always been that way. He's always seen how I work. So it wasn't really that. I think it was probably a buddy of mine who I actually do business with in one of my companies now. What he was doing is saying, I'm going to buy this house. And now that's going to be my daughter's college and buy a car and her wedding gift. And then he had a son. And he said, I'm going to buy another house.
Okay.
So he would save those houses and make them rentals to where they're bringing in money every single month.
Yeah.
So he was thinking long-term, which rubbed off on me. And I'm going, you know what? It's not just about that. Or I have a mom right now that's elderly, that's unhealthy, that has a lot of medical conditions. So we give money to her to help her survive and live.
Yeah.
And we bought her house for her and paid cash, and it's owned by her. She never has to stress about a bill again. Yeah. So I think between those two things, that's kind of where that came from. Like, I love being able to have the money where if I see somebody struggling, I can write a $5,000 check.
Yeah.
Like that's huge for me. And I might not even know the person.
Yeah.
I had a guy, a friend of mine, he used to play for the NFL. He had some issues and he ended up dying on us in the hospital. And his entire family didn't have enough money to bury him. But when somebody comes to you and says, Paul, in 4 hours, the funeral home needs the money or they're not going to bury him.
Yeah.
Like, for you to be able to write a check.
Yeah.
Or make, actually it was a credit card at that time because we were on the phone, but to say, hey, put them on the phone right now and you pay
to do it. Yeah.
Credit card. Like, that radically changes people's lives. I mean, it changes mine more than any, but those people to never, like, That's what I think we're here for. I think that's why entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs, because they don't mind working the extra hours the extra grit. Why? Because it makes the world around them better.
Right. And it's not about money per se. We can't do anything with you. If you can't carry it around in bags all day if you want, but you actually put it to use. And like you say, having options, being able to make those decisions right away, saying I can help out. That's amazing. And I also like, you sort of learn from people around you. They always say you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So you see somebody, you know, some people will see a friend of theirs who's making investments, preparing for the future and go, oh, that's nice for them, or just ignore it or whatever. Or say, you know, oh, their kids are just lucky or something like that. But you thought, wait, I can do that too. So now how did you start to make those moves where you say, okay, you're in your position where you could see the future that you want, and now you have to make those changes?
Yeah, I was, and it was hard, like you said, because I was comfortable. I had a great job. I loved my job. And it's hard when you love your job.
Oh,
it's different when you hate your job.
Oh, yeah.
When you
it was easy.
You know, when you hate your job and you don't want to get up in the morning, it's easy to quit and go do something. And that's why a lot of people get in trouble, right? Those entrepreneurs that are like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur tomorrow. And they quit their job. And I'm like, what are you going to do? And they're like, I don't know yet. I'm like, well, that's because you hate your job. So for me, it was hard because I love my job. But I just started researching. I'm like, where do most millionaires and billionaires have money?
Okay.
And real estate just kept popping up. Real estate. And it turned out 75-80% of millionaires and billionaires are somewhat invested in real estate.
Yes, absolutely.
I was like, okay, that's a clue. That's all I need. I just need a clue. So I took it and I ran with it. So I was still a state trooper full time in the real estate industry.
Yeah.
And I just did it all on the side. I did a side hustle. I worked my butt off on weekends.
Let's go back. So how did you learn? Because you say you started reading. So this is very important because a lot of entrepreneurs just don't know where to get started. So what was it? Did you just start reading about how to make money? And then how did you actually learn real estate itself?
Probably, again, don't tell anybody, but so I was a state trooper and I was still working full time, but I knew there's a faster, quicker way out there. I'm not one of those guys like, let me try this, let me try that. I hope this works. Like that wastes too much time. And my time, I was already working a full-time job and I had a family. So I had to find a quicker way. And back then, they didn't have online courses. They didn't have, all this awesome technology we have right now. They had books, or they had me hopping in my police car and driving over to the guy that I knew who was local, who was doing real estate. And I pulled it. It was funny. Case, it was so funny. I pulled into his office. He doesn't have a clue who I am. I pull in. I'm in my uniform. I'm in my patrol car. All its employees' eyes are like this big, like, oh, who's in trouble? Like, who's getting arrested in the office today? And I walk right in and I'm like, is the so-and-so here? And I said the owner's name. They're like, he's in the back office. And they're all, oh. And I walk back, I close this door and I sat down. I said, listen, he's like, what happened? What's going on? I said, no, everything's fine. I said, you do real estate, you invest, you fix, you sell. I've seen you doing some stuff around town. And this is in Jacksonville, Florida. I said, I want to learn. And he's like, well, I don't really teach people, because then you end up being my competition and blah, blah, blah. And I got where he was coming from. And I said, listen, I'm going to work for you for the next year. Every minute I'm off, because I had different shifts. So some days I didn't go until evening shift, which is 3 o'clock. So I could work all morning till two. I said, I'm going to work for you. I'm going to dump your trash. I'm going to file your papers. I'm going to clean the floors. I'm going to clean the toilets. But every time you're talking to somebody about real estate, I want to be with you. Do we have a deal? And he's like, yeah. It took him
That's
some time.
amazing. But who could turn
But
down an offer like that?
especially when I pulled him over the next day, I'm like, oh, do we have a deal yet? No, I'm just kidding. But he agreed. He agreed.
And I
And I
think
started
that's
learning.
so important for people to think about that. You don't really know maybe exactly what you want to do, but you know somebody who's doing what you want to do. And so you gotta go in there and just make yourself available. And so you were saying you started learning from him from as like an apprentice right away, and somebody could be your mentor. That's extraordinary. And so how long were you doing stuff around the office before things started to turn around?
I don't know, probably 4 or 5 months. And then one day he just walked up to me. He goes, I'm going to sell you your first deal. You ready? And I didn't hesitate. I didn't think about it. I trusted him. And I was like, let's do it. And he sold me a piece of real estate that he had purchased. I think he made like $17,000 off the purchase. Like he upcharged me. And I was like, ooh, gotcha. But I learned the lesson. I'm like, okay, he's helping me, but at the same time, he could still make money. He still made 17,000, but I'm still going to make money when I renovate it and sell it. I'm like, okay, so that's okay. And then I did my first renovation with him. I did a couple more deals with him. I did about a year and then I went out on my own. And
Now, did you learn all of the steps around how to do renovation, everything also from him? Was it all on the job at that point?
I would say probably half of it. A lot of it, like I picked it up fast. I make a mistake and I'm like, ooh, never doing that again. Or man, I didn't even see that when I bought that house. And it wasn't the way to learn. Like right now, there's so much technology out there that we actually created a Flippin' Experts training course. It's actually a membership now where people can go in, sit in front of a computer and get information after information after information, step by step, watch training videos, see like actual people in the house working up on the roof with inspector. Like there's so much information we take for granted right now on the internet. I think that's why YouTube is so big, right? YouTube's so big. Why? Because it shows you how to do stuff. It's, I can watch this real quickly, have an understanding, and go repeat it and do it myself. Well, that's what we did with our membership. Where so many people kept coming to us and they're like, man, real estate's terrible. I got burned. I'm like, how'd you get burned? Well, I bought this one house and I'm like, and it's always either I did awesome or I got burned. And when I look at it, I look at the two different types of people. And the ones that got burned is the ones that did no education. They did just no self-education. They didn't have a coach. They didn't have a mentor. Like when you went to launch your podcast, you just didn't sit down one day, buy any microphone you felt like, and say, I'm going to do a podcast and have no idea how to do it, right? You did research to figure out, okay, what do I need to do this correctly, professionally, have good sound, all these different things. But I see other people that will just jump into real estate and have no clue. And I'm like, didn't you just spend $160,000 to go to college and you're not using that college degree? But you don't want to pay for a $1,000 course or a $2,000 night class, or go to a free meetup group where you can meet people that like what you like and you can learn from. Like, it doesn't, that doesn't cost anything.
Right. And you have to invest in yourself. I mean, this is something that, you know, like you say, you'll pay $160 for the college degree, but you won't pay for a direct skills training type of course, maybe $1,000, even $2,000. And I think for a lot of entrepreneurs make that hesitation, like, oh, it's expensive, so on. But you have to look at everything as an investment. This is what you need, this knowledge. You cannot stop learning. There's always something you don't know. I know some people think they know everything, but there's always something you don't know. And you have to move forward with it. So let's take a step back. So you're doing that. You've got your on-the-job training, and then you're continuing to learn. So for example, the first time you go to renovate a place, at that point, have you spent enough time with different other properties at that point? Or are you, like you say, you've made some mistakes and you learn from your mistakes, but how did you get like the confidence to just go forward and take on the project when it was handed to you?
I just did it. I think I have more people around me now than I did when I started. Mm. So when I first started, I literally took on that project myself. I didn't even hire a crew to do the renovation. I did it. I didn't have any connections. I didn't know flooring people. I didn't know window people. I didn't know anybody, but I knew I could make it work. Now, it took me three times as long as it should.
Yeah.
I was wore out at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then I said, I'm never doing a job again. I'm going to be the guy that hires people to come in and do this because they can do it faster. Even if it costs me a little bit more money,
yeah,
if they can do it twice as fast as me, I save money because I'm not sitting with that money out of my pocket for the purchase of the home. So it's just for me, that one guy, he helped me a lot. He, you know, he got my feet wet, but I wanted it so much. Nobody could keep me from doing it.
Oh, okay. So why did you start? Yeah.
It was that why. It was that why factor. Like, why did I want it? Well, I wanted to do it to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to keep being a trooper making $36,000 a year.
Yeah.
And then when I sold that very first one and I made $27,000 profit, I said, man, if I did that in 3 months and I did that four times a year, every 3 months, I can clear over $100,000. That's triple what I get paid now as a trooper. So my brain's just spinning. And then I go, and if I could take myself out of the equation and bring in a crew of four instead of one, that's four times faster. That means I get it done in little under a month. And it just kept growing.
You could see it. Yeah.
I could see it. And I knew the why was so important to me. I was like, I have to make this work because if I'm going to quit being a trooper, my family has to be provided for. My son has to have what he wants. And by me taking myself out of the equation after the first one, it allowed me to spend more time with my family. And that's one of my whys was be with my family more.
Yeah. So how did you end up growing the business? So you're just starting out, you're flipping houses the first couple of times, then, now at the beginning, you're telling us there's three companies now. So how is it that you started to scale?
Yeah. I took myself out of the equation more.
And that was,
I just kept doing that. I kept saying, like my coach, when we talk about, I mean, I spend over $100,000 a year investing in myself for training.
Like, that's what you do now.
That's what I do right now. Like I spend almost probably $12,000 a month just in training for myself because I know if I can speak with and meet and hang out with somebody that's doing it 10 times bigger than me, that they can show me how to get there.
Yeah.
And for me, if I can get there in a year versus 10 years, how much more am I really making, right? Yeah. I'm making a lot more money because it's like compounding interest. The more I learn now, the less mistakes I make and the faster I can grow. So I think for me, I started learning compounding and growing my business was really when I pulled a personal coach into it, a one-on-one coach.
Okay.
I paid him to scale me because he already had been there. He's doing, I don't know, a couple hundred million a year.
Yeah.
So for me to meet and spend time with him and say, hey, here's where I'm hitting roadblocks. And for him to guide me and say, listen, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Do this and do this because I've done it. It's proven it works. And he's already there. Yeah. A lot of people get coaches that aren't there.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
Right.
I want to go right here. Okay. Right. Then who else is there or higher?
Right.
That's who you need to be talking to. Not somebody at the same level as you.
Right.
Not somebody twice as good as you. If you're trying to go to 10 times. So that's what I think helped me.
How did you find the coach then? I know a lot of people are interested, but then it's like, well, where do I even start to find a coach?
And that's the excuse, right?
Where
do I find one? Your why is not big enough. The reason you want this isn't in your heart. You're not hungry for it. You don't want it enough. You're not going to do it. So it should be, where can I find the best coach? That should be their question. And for me, I had I went to a conference out in Utah, and it was like one of those bigger conference, right? Like 500-600 people. And it was like Dean Graziosi, Brendan Burchard, and a couple other big wigs. And I'm like, I went, I sat there. Dean had some good information, but Dean was kind of transitioning out of real estate more into motivational with Tony Robbins and some other things. And, and Brendan had talked about automating stuff and starting an online course to help other people and spread your message. And then one of the guys that was there who was speaking every so often, I just connected with him. I'm like, man, that guy, he gets it. He understands it. And he's a back end guy. Like him and his business partner, they build companies from like 10 million to 200 million in 3-4 years. Like he's just very back end. Like he understands all the pieces back here that if you adjust them. And I just would listen to him talk and I'd hear him talk. And then I came home and I'm like, I really like that guy. My wife's like, yeah, I did too. And I'm like, okay. And then I prayed about it a little bit. I like let it soak in a little bit. And when I was ready, I reached out to him and I said, hey, listen, I met you up at Dean's conference and this and that. And I was up there in Sundance with you guys. And do you have time for a 10-minute conversation? I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for somebody to coach me.
Yeah.
And like he hit me right back up.
He didn't have a formal program. You just reached out and said you'd want him as a coach.
Correct.
And to me,
the connection is bigger than anything. Like if I have a connection with you and I can trust you and I know that you've gone from 10 million to 200 million or whatever the number might be for you, like he has proof of concept.
Right.
He has trust.
Yeah.
I've seen him take Brendan Burchard's company and Dean's company and Tony Robbins' company and Russell Brunson from ClickFunnels all the way to mega millions. So I knew he could do it.
Okay.
And he just reached out to me and we had a 10-minute conversation and my wife was with us and I'm like, hey, I don't know if you coach people. I've really been thinking about it a lot. I love what you stand for. I follow him on Instagram and social media and I loved his family values. I loved what he stood for. Yeah. I can follow somebody. I can learn from somebody like that. If somebody's unethical or they're doing things that aren't in line with my values, you can't follow them. It's never going to work. So yeah, we had a conversation and the next month I hired him.
And then started.
That's it. He's still coaching me today.
Wow. So you think about that. So for listeners who might be that person thinking, where do I find someone? Well, there's a great example. You went to a conference. So conferences are great. I know we can't have them right now, but hopefully they'll be back next year.
There's a lot of virtual conferences.
Yeah, there's a lot of virtual conferences as well. But you know, you can meet people. You can ask the people that you meet, you know, at speakers and speeches and stuff like that. So you could see people. And then, like you said, that person resonated with you. So there's, you know, plenty of coaches. Not everybody's going to be your vibe. They could be the most famous coach ever, but still you don't like something about them. That's fine. There's other people out there and you go with the one that you feel good about.
So, and they have to be available.
That's
a big thing. Yeah. They can't, like sometimes these big coaches, they're not available. They're too busy. You know, get your 20 minutes with them and you never hear from them for the rest of the month.
Right.
I can call my guy on the phone and say, hey man, I'm running into this problem, or text him and I get it. He answers, but he's never not answered the phone. Wow. And this guy's he owns golf courses and resorts. And like, he picks up the phone every single time. So like having that availability too, because some of these guys are so big that you're just going to get your 20 minutes and you're not going to feel that value.
Other things. Yeah. So that's a basic. So with your coach, you're able to then start scaling. And as you did that, how did that turn out for you as you know, you're an entrepreneur, you've been started small and all that kind of stuff, but business is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Are you finding it more difficult to manage, or is it just what you thought it would be anyway?
I think it's gotten probably a little easier. Yeah. Because when you take yourself out of the mix every single day and you're the boss, you're the owner, you have more time to delegate, which is one of the things you have to do, right? You have to automate, delegate, or release it, right? Yeah. So for me, I worked for the company. I was always in the grind. I was always out there driving properties. I was always out there paying the bills, doing whatever it took.
Yeah.
But as you scale, you hire people. I hired an assistant. She has literally changed my life. I think I've hired 3 assistants since then.
Okay.
So like, I just make a phone call and I'm like, I need this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
She handles it. Like 5 things just went off my list. Yeah. And if I had 15, I give 5 to her, 5 to her, 5 to her. And then they report back to me. So now I'm allowed to employ people, which helps them and their families. But the scaling for me, it can get a little scary, but for me, I keep everything in my stream. I don't start a company that's outside of my wheelhouse. So like I'm in fix and flip real estate. So really anything real estate I touch. Okay. So in my fix and flip, I then started a rental management company.
Yeah.
Still real estate.
Yeah.
I still buy real estate, put real estate. My rentals go in there. I'm overseeing it. Like then I started a staging and design company. Well, I do that for my fix and flips. I have to design all them, stage all those. So like, but then all these other investors start calling. Hey, what about me? What about, can you help me? Hey, can we do this? Can we do that? And then I started a home renovation company, which I already have all the contractors from my fix and flips. So, and then when they get slow, they can go help my fix and flips.
Yeah.
So I move those faster. So my four companies are all in the same stream, which makes it easier because they all strengthen each other. Mm-hmm. Hey, my fix and flips, I got two houses that are vacant. I don't have anybody to do the renovation. Hey, my home renovation crew, you know, I can bring on four more people and shift them over to here. And then my staging company stages the properties for my fix and flips. Like there's just so many, it's all intertwined. So really it feels like one big company, even though it's not.
I was going to say that. So here they're four. So I guess the first question is, why did you decide to create, you know, additional companies to do related work instead of just going with whatever companies there were that did that already?
Accounting, CPAs, liabilities, you know, fix and flips.
Yeah.
I don't want an issue with a fix and flip to affect my rentals.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I keep them in separate companies.
To do it separately.
Yeah. Liability wise. And I think accounting is a beast. Mm. I mean, accounting is, and when you have like 18 to 20 renovations going on at one time, just fix and flips, that's not including like home renovations.
Right. Okay.
To track every receipt and every number and everything. So for me, our companies, when I create them and separate them, I know this one's all for homes. Well, I need, for a homeowner, I need to have a general GC involved, and I need to do this. And there's certain liabilities I have to have covered and certain insurances I need to have on properties. Well, these fix and flips, they're all mine. I own them. So there's certain things I don't have to do there. So just keeping up with legal guidelines, accounting guidelines, CPAs, taxes. But I like that they're separate because I have different people over them.
Yeah.
Like me and my wife are over them, but like she owns and runs the design and staging company, not me. I hardly touch it.
Yeah.
She buys the furniture, sells the furniture, like does all that. My home renovation company for people, for homeowners, I have another girl that I hired on. She oversees probably 90% of that.
Yeah.
So I barely touch that. And then I hired another guy. Well, he's been with me a couple of years now. He's running mostly the fix and flips.
Okay.
So like, I can put different people in charge, and then I'm not pulling my home renovation lady over to my fix and flip or my design company. Right. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't been involved with this company. So keeping them all separate with different heads on top and then trickling down who works for them has just seemed to work very good for us. And it's clean.
Yeah. So do you find then your role, you've gone from the entrepreneur to the, well, you're the CEO, but to the management, you know, level person, do you feel that change, that it's more of the management side now, that and not as much of the entrepreneurial, I guess the original sort of entrepreneurial spin that you had?
I'm in both. Like I'm in the management side, but I wouldn't have started three other companies if I still wasn't in the entrepreneurial side. Okay. I'm always looking for ways like, okay, with what I'm doing right now, what's the next thing I can start that takes this business or these four businesses to the next level, or even one or two of them to the next level. So I'm always looking for that. Like right now I'm looking at, okay, I do so much volume with materials.
Mm-hmm.
Like a friend of mine out west, he went and got a 40,000 square foot warehouse, and he buys all his own home renovation products. So he never has to go to Home Depot or Lowe's.
Oh.
And he buys them at 40 cents on the dollar.
Oh, okay.
So he grew it to like 60,000 SKUs in his own little warehouse that his guys would come use. But now every single home renovator goes to him because it's cheaper than Home Depot and Lowe's, and he has it in stock and it's cheaper. Yeah. He undercuts Home Depot and Lowe's by 20%. So I'm going, I'm about to that level. Okay. So now let me think about going and buying a building, and somebody has to run that.
Yeah.
And that could be another company, but think about it. If I can save 40 to 50% on home renovations, and I'm doing $4 million in materials.
Yeah.
I'm saving $1.8 million if I do it. So that's
real money.
So your question, I'm always, the management actually allows me to be more of an entrepreneur, I feel, because I have more time to think.
Yeah.
Right. When I'm in the grind every day and you're working sun up to sun down as an entrepreneur, your brain doesn't have time to relax and think. Like when I go on vacation, I get the most vision for my company ever and for my own personal life. Why? because I'm decompressed.
Yes.
I'm relaxed. I'm thinking. Even if it's 3 days, I'll drive home and be like, all right, we need to do this and this and this, and it's going to take us to the next level. But if I don't, if I stay in the grind, I hardly ever grow.
You know what? I love that you made that point, because I know so many people are sort of caught up in this, whatever the hustle culture is and the grind and all these things. So they think, oh, if I'm not going 18 hours a day and falling over and asleep, then I'm failing myself and I'm never going to make this work. But you do have to step away, and you do have to, like you say, clear your head, and you never know what ideas will come out if you go for a walk in the morning, or, you know, go on your vacation with the kids or something. Like, make sure you take that time as well, because you're still working. I'm an entrepreneur. You're still thinking of the business all the time. It's not like the 9-to-5 where you can walk away from it, but you don't have to be sort of knocking yourself out in order to do it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Case. Yeah. I hardly ever hear people talk like that, but guess what? Working 18 hours a day, how sustainable is that?
Right.
That's how good is that for your health? Yeah. How good is it for your health? Like, if you don't have health, you have nothing.
Right.
I don't care how much your company is worth if you don't have health. So that's for me, we learned that in the very beginning. It's like, how to say no, how to pay yourself first, how to go on a quarterly vacation. I don't care if it's like 2 hours away at a resort, just get out of your work zone, turn your phone off. And it's a game changer. And how do you do that? You teach your employees or people working with you how to do that. Right. So for me, my employees, they know after 6 o'clock at night, they ain't getting a hold of me. That's it. Why? Because my phone's off. I'm not answering it. But if I sit there all night and I'm texting and I'm calling people till 9 o'clock at night, and all my contractors, they're used to that. Yeah. So then they keep doing it. So then it's unhealthy for them and their family.
Right. For everybody.
So you set the tone for your company, and maybe a lot of your entrepreneurs are one or two people, or it's them and their wife, or them and their husband, or whatever. But you got to learn this stuff now, because you're going to eventually scale. You're going to eventually grow, and your habits are going to keep going with you. So
absolutely. Yeah. And then, so how do you, one thing you talk about your employees and you're making sure they're good people as well. So that's always another consideration that people have, is how do you find really good people who understand your what you're trying to do, and, you know, fit the culture that you're trying to create?
Show me, don't tell me. That's my wife's biggest line, and it's kind of stuck with our company for a while, because everybody looks great on paper.
Yeah.
Everybody listens and does great on interviews when you listen to them, and they'll fool you. And I had to learn it through contractors. Contractors are the worst. So I can do it all. And I'm like, if you can do it all, I'm in trouble, because I need you to be a skill of one or two good things. Otherwise, you know, everything a little bit. I need you to know a couple things really, really good. And you just go through people. Unfortunately for me, I vet them very well. I have phone interviews. I meet them in person. I dig into their life. I ask hard questions. I'd rather ask you now than you come work for me for 2 weeks and I have to let you go. So I don't do that. And a lot of the people I hire, I've known for a while.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I met him at church, and I knew him through church. And my wife just hired another girl to stage, and it was like the wife of a husband that just needed a part-time job to feel valued and to feel like she's given something to her family, like money wise. And I'm like, bring it on. Like, and she just took half a load off of Kelsey, just on the staging company. So, but now this girl has purpose. Like, there's this other girl I hired out of Utah. I'm in Florida. And people are like, what? I'm like, yeah, I hired this girl in Utah, and I met her through my coach, and amazing lady. Her husband makes tons of money. And she's like, I got a couple kids, and I want something to take up some of my time. I want to feel valued. I want to help a company grow. I used to own my own this, and I grew that, and now I'm a stay-at-home mom. But so we hired her, and within a month or two, she's texting us like, thank you so much. I love what you guys are doing with your company. I love how I can help you grow this. Reach out to me day or night, and I'll help you. Like, those are the people that will always be with our company, because they understand the vision of it. And a lot of people, I mean, I go through contractors pretty regularly, just because they'll do really good, and then they fizzle out. They start doing drugs. They start drinking. They don't show up. They don't answer the phone. But I think the more you interview, and I give them a shot, you know, I don't pay them full pay right away. I'm like, hey, you want to make $25 an hour? Great. I'm going to start you at 18 and show me what you got. And in 2 weeks, if I think that you're there, or my manager tells me you're there, I'll get you at 25.
So,
like, show me what you got. People. Show me what you got.
Yeah.
And some of my employees I've put on, as a temp, you know, like, hey, come work for me for 20 hours a week. for a month.
Okay.
Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
And that's another way. Cause then you know how it is when you put them as a full-time employee and you got to jump through all those hurdles and, mm-hmm. and workman's comp and all this other different stuff. Like that's a headache. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, let me try you out part-time as a temporary employee. Let's see how you do. And if they shine, great. Yeah. If they don't shine, I'm like, hey, I'm sorry it didn't work out, but I just didn't waste all that time with my CPA and my accountant and my insurance people. And that's yeah. proven to help me a little bit.
Yeah. There's no real secret sauce, is there? You just kind of have to work your way through people and test them and give them a tryout and see what happens. And sometimes you get really lucky and other times you let people go. That's about the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some people do really great for 6 months and then they fizzle out.
That's
some
true
people,
too. Yeah. It might look like it's going to work and then it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no secret sauce. I wish there was, because I mean, good employees, I think everybody fights for them. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay. So tell us what's coming up. What's now you've got the business, you know, you've built this business and what's next?
I think our membership site is
okay.
A lot of our focus right now, it's because we can help so many more people. Like when we go speak and we get done, there's like a line out the room and I can help those people. I can, hey, what's your struggle? What you going through? Yeah. What can I do? And after probably a year of that, I'd come home and I'd be like, Kelsey, how can we help more people? Mm. And we just happen to know Brendan Burchard, who builds courses and just, I mean, he coaches Oprah and her teams and all that, like, and met up with him and we build out a membership and I said, okay, I'm going to put a couple courses in there. How do you create wealth through rentals? I made a course. I put it in there and how do you fix and flip properties? And I made a course. I mean, this thing took me like 2 years. There's like, just cause I recorded it all. And then I'm like, man, I can make it better. I can tweak it. I can and I just re-recorded it actually a couple months ago, but that course is in there and all my podcasts are in there and all my trainings, like bonus trainings are in there. So I just, this membership course, I just started throwing everything in there. And then I give it to people for a dollar. I'm like, hey, for $1, you can join my membership. If you want to know anything about real estate, you join my membership for a dollar. I'll give you 7 of my very first trainings on how to fix and flip properties for a dollar.
Okay.
And if you want to stay, it's a membership fee.
Yeah.
$79. You can stay, you can go, you can come and go whenever you please. And that's been really successful. And I'm liking it. Like I just got a call right before I hopped on with you.
Yeah.
And this girl's name is Debbie and she's probably 55 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And me and her she owned a house and she's like, can you help me renovate it? Walk me through some steps. I bought your course. And today she listed it yesterday for $425 and within 3 hours got a full price offer and has 3 other offers coming.
Wow.
Like those are the stories.
Yeah.
Like
that's what you wanted to do. Yeah.
My wife was like, I needed to hear that. That phone call was awesome. And that's where we get joy because I like hearing them versus, yeah, I just didn't know what I was doing. Right. I lost $40,000 and my mom was upset and I borrowed my cousin's money. And so for us, I think it's the membership. And I just finished writing a book that is getting sent off to a publisher. So we'll see how that goes. Right.
Okay.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So that, and then my wife and I are working on a show.
Really?
So yeah. Yeah. So we have some video stuff coming on down in December. I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but she's not in here. So she, but,
oh, it's an exclusive.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nobody knows. I just had the conversation yesterday. So.
Okay.
So someone's coming down to record in December and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So,
well, you
that's
kind of
on the horizon.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Awesome. Well, this is the entrepreneurial journey is, you know, something for so many people who are thinking about it and you're one who's done it. You took the initial path, you served the country, you served your community, always, and then moving on to wanting so much more for your family and so on. And actually having this instinct in you to build this great business. And it's very exciting. And thank you so much. Now tell us where people can find you and follow up.
Yeah, just Flippin Experts, FLIPPIN experts.com. Then go to our website. Social media is probably the best place because we do a lot of like before and after pictures and funny videos and just cool stuff of like demolitions and crazy stuff. So if they want to see that kind of material, they can go on there. We have a YouTube channel, but yeah, just anywhere at FlippinExperts.com, they can find us.
Awesome. Paul Tompkins, the CEO of Flippin Experts. Thank you so much for being on the Ready Entrepreneur podcast.
Thank you, Case. I appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Paul Tompkins, CEO of Flippin' Experts, and I hope you learned a few tips and strategies from his entrepreneurial journey that you can apply to yours. Now, links to all the resources mentioned on the show can be found on the Ready Entrepreneur podcast resource page at readyentrepreneur.com. And if you want to follow up with Paul, go to flippinexperts.com and check out the tools in the membership site. Remember, the number one decision to make if you're still a wantrepreneur is just to get started on your own business. Okay, that's it for episode 109 of the Ready Entrepreneur podcast, an interview with Paul Tompkins, CEO of Flippin' Experts, about his entrepreneurial journey. If you enjoyed this information and found it useful, please make sure you're subscribed to the Ready Entrepreneur podcast so you do not miss future episodes. And please leave a rating and a comment at Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen to podcasts so I can see your feedback. And if you know someone who would benefit from the tips and strategies in the Ready Entrepreneur podcast, please share this podcast with another aspiring online entrepreneur. At readyentrepreneur.com, you'll find tons of helpful information for rising entrepreneurs, links to guides, books, courses, and so much more. And you can join the community of aspiring entrepreneurs just like you, who I keep up to date with tips, ideas, strategies, and other cool stuff. Visit readyentrepreneur.com. And if you want to reach out to me directly, email contactcase@readyentrepreneur.com or follow me on social media or reach out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or Pinterest. Thank you so much for listening to the Ready Entrepreneur podcast with Case Lane.